Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. And today we have a very special guest joining us. Dr. John Trent is an author and speaker and ministry leader. He has a ministry called Strong Families and has authored and co-authored many wonderful books to help people with their relationships, including The Blessing, The Language of Love, and The Two Sides of Love. He is coming to join us this Sunday at Christ Fellowship to give our Sunday message, and he's also going to be here on Saturday for our Rise Conference. And I had the privilege of speaking to Dr. Trent from his house in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we had a great conversation that I think you'll enjoy. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. This is a special episode of the podcast. Bruce isn't here and Jaime isn't here, but I am here with Dr. John Trent, who is joining us from the scorching heat of Scottsdale, Arizona. Yeah. We were just comparing the temperatures and he won, even though it's hot here in Dallas. Dr. Trent is on with me today because he's going to be here this weekend at Christ Fellowship. He's going to be speaking at our Rise Conference. This is our third annual Rise Conference that we are doing in August to kick off our ministry year. And then he's also going to be giving the sermon on Sunday morning. So thank you, Dr. Trent, for being here with us.
Hey, what an honor. And looking forward to this weekend and cooling down and coming to Texas. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of sad if coming to Texas is cooling down. But no, we're excited. We are so excited about Rise. It's like all we've been working towards and talking about in the last few days around here.
You've got a great group coming. And I talked with Lisa, and there's such a great team there that you have at the church. And so I think they'll be all ready to kick things off and be, you know, just again, honored to be a part of it.
Dr. Trent, tell us a little bit about yourself. I'd love to know how you, because you have a ministry called Strong Families.
Yeah.
And you've written several books, and now you're doing ministry with your daughter, which must be really cool. So tell us a little bit about how did this passion get stirred in you? What drew you to focus on families?
Well,
no pun intended.
I do a lot with focus on the family. In fact, I have my latest books with Focus. So we do focus a lot on the family. And half the people think I work for Focus. I've done so much with them over the years. But really kind of where it started was, you know, I grew up in a single parent home. My mom and dad, you know, divorced when I was 2 months old. Wonderful. I never met my dad till college. Wonderful, awesome single parent mom with three kids under three when my dad bailed out. So she had to go to work. My older brother Joe was, you know, just struggled with all of the things that happened. You know, my twin brother Jeff tried to analyze him. He's a MD, PhD, brilliant. We're fraternal. I can brag on him. And he tried to, you know, kind of out-logic his way through it. And I just acted out. I was that kid. And so senior year, I'd already been kicked out of grade school. I was a total mess. I was becoming an alcoholic just like my dad. And I didn't even know him, you know. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this young life leader shows up. Have you ever heard of Young Life?
He works with
high school kids like me that were incorrigible. And my mom was very moralistic, but none of us went to church. I think everybody thinks, oh, everybody's heard about it. We didn't know any Christians. We didn't know anything about Christ. And this big 6'4" ex-Chico State offensive tackle shows up named Doug Barham. And he would come to the practices and games. I mean, just a great guy, and invite a bunch of us home. That was the really cool part. The senior football players, he'd invite a bunch of us to home, and his wife would cook these big spaghetti dinners. And Lisa, that's where my life changed. Wow. I think one of the greatest tools for evangelism that the church has is a home that's just full of Christ's love, which is so much what you guys do, you know, with the different ways that you challenge them with your vision and your mission and, you know, those four key aspects of things that you do. So you're doing a great job of getting people to do that already. But this was the first time I had seen that up close and personal. And a dad that loved his kids and wife, and a few months later, just before I graduated, he tricked a bunch of us into going to a Billy Graham movie. And, I didn't know who Billy Graham was, and it was a terrible movie. Don't send me emails, Doctor. I got to,
love Dr. Graham, but not exactly. The best movie.
I got to meet him several times. He was a wonderful, godly person, but it was the worst movie I'd ever seen. And this lady got sick and died. It was supposed to be sad, but I'm a high school kid and I thought it was lame. But at the end, this guy stands up. It's at a movie theater, right? So I'd never heard an invitation. And this guy stands up and he goes, "Do you want to change the pictures of your life story?"
Wow.
I'm telling you, I was ready. And 5 out of the 6 of us that went to the movie with him that night, a couple other guys did too at a different night, but 5 out of the 6 guys, we all walked down and gave our lives to Christ that night. And again, it's because we had seen Christ live through a family. Mm-hmm. And we ended up going to, I didn't have good enough grade. I went to junior college. And then I got into TCU on probation. And then I got into Dallas Seminary on probation. There's a pattern there. But I work hard, but it was just, you know, I wasn't brilliant like my twin brother, Jeff. But when I got to Dallas Seminary, where Pastor Bruce went.
Yep. And several of our pastors. Yeah.
Yeah, several of them. Then I walked into this guy's class. It was my first day at Dallas Seminary. And I was a Greek major because I got some bad advice. I didn't know.
Really? It's like, what, a Greek major?
Well, I had a friend and he go, "You had to declare a major." And I go, "Well, what should I do?" And he goes, "Oh, you got to pick New Testament." And I'm thinking, well, that sounds good. Read the New Testament. That means you're a Greek major. And it also means at Dallas, if you're a Greek major at the time, you had to automatically, you minored in Hebrew. So that was a great 4 years of my life, never even having had Spanish, you know, or any kind of foreign language. But I had one elective. So guess what it was? The Christian Home with a guy named Dr. Howard Hendricks.
So Dr. Hendricks.
I walk into Dr. Howard Hendricks. I'm not even married. I can't get a date. I have no money. I'm a broke, you know, seminary student. And I walk in and I walked out and I'm so old. This is before cell phones. So I had to go to a pay phone and I called my mom. So here's the end of that long question that I was answering for you. How did I end up doing this? But I walked in and heard him talk about the Christian Home and it was like scales fell off and I just felt like, oh my gosh, that's why I can't, you know, Lord, you know, it was just crystal clear. You know, you hear about calling, you know, but it was like, this is what you're doing the rest of your life. And I remember calling my mom and saying, "Mom, I just figured out, I met this guy named Howard Hendricks. He ended up being a great friend and said, you know, that's what I'm doing the rest of my life is why I came to seminary is to be a family pastor." There weren't any back then, but to teach people about, you know, how that once you turn God loose in your home, even if you're like me and broken and you know, see, I used to be abnormal. Think about this, Lisa. I'm so old. My twin brother and my older brother and I were the only kids in a big public grade school, Kachina Elementary here. We were the only kids in our school, not our class, in our school from a divorced family.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. My wife, her last year of teaching, 18 out of the 22 kids she had were from either single parent or broken, you know, step parenting. And I used to be, you know, that was abnormal. Now it's the norm. Yeah. And there's so much brokenness. And so what's great is that, you know, man, when you bring the vision home, like you're going to do at Rise Conference, and I get to be a part of, when people kind of figure out that, man, you know, that's what really can change your home and your life. And that's what I've been doing for all these years. Obviously, you want to start with your own home. That's why I end up, we're imperfect and broken and messed up just like everybody else. But so grateful that, you know, Jesus invaded our home. And again, I get to come and talk a little bit about that both Saturday at the RISE conference and then Sunday morning.
Yeah. And, you know, just to recap, I hope our listeners know the vision, but our vision here at Christ Fellowship is to reduce loneliness, anxiety, and addiction by having meaningful conversations where people experience Christ through us. And so, like you said, that's not a vision that's just focused on the outside world, the world outside the church, because all those things, loneliness and anxiety and addiction, are happening right in our own homes.
Yeah.
And so we need to address those, you know, in and among ourselves. And then we need to help people in our community, in the homes around us, and our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers, address those issues too. So I think there's two key components there, that both of them are absolutely essential. And you're going to talk about both of them this weekend. And the first one is having meaningful conversations, which is sort of the vehicle by which we can get to know people. We can help them. You know, we have our tagline is be known, be loved, but that's true. That's really our heart, is we want people to feel known and know that they are first of all known and loved by God. And then second of all, that as a church family, they are known and loved, but also that people need to experience Christ through us, because if we're not experiencing Christ, then people can't experience Christ through us. So you're going to talk on Sunday. We're in the middle of a series right now called Be a Part of the Story. And we at Christ Fellowship, I guess probably 10 years ago or so, maybe even longer now, I've been here a long time, designed this, the four practices, that have the X, and really they're not revolutionary practices. They're things that Christians have been doing since Jesus was here, but they are essential that you engage God individually, like you have a relationship with God yourself, that you connect with other believers in some kind of small community, that you worship with other people, and that you then impact other people out in the world personally. And so you're going to be starting us off with this sort of series on the four practices by talking about engaging God individually.
Right.
And so all that by way of introduction is, I know in your own life, it sounds like you met Jesus through the football player, and through Young Life, and then through the Billy Graham movie, you were introduced to Jesus, and now you've walked with Jesus for a long time now. How important is it to have that time to engage with God individually?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because Saturday we'll talk about, you know, relationally, how do you bring that vision home to kind of, like you said, you know, to with loneliness, with addictions, with anxiety, you know, there's that huge sense in which, and I love that I saw some pictures on the website where people have these cool t-shirts that say be known and be loved and, you know, stuff like that. And let me tell you, that's not just hyperbole or a good bumper sticker talk. Attachment, is absolutely huge. Now, we're going to talk about that on Saturday, because those meaningful conversations, when you open the door, it's you know, to relationships with people, step towards them, bless them, be able to really, you know, communicate and value who they are. That's huge. But where it begins is Sunday morning. So Saturday is the relational part, and give them a lot of great tools for, you know, to take home. But Sunday is where I get to talk about something that C.S. Lewis does. And have you ever heard of a book called The Weight of Glory? Weight of Glory. So it's a little thin book of a bunch of lectures by C.S. Lewis. And on one of them called The Weight of Glory, it was just a lecture that he gave. But guess what he's talking about? He says, you know, the door on which we've been knocking all our life is finally open. That personal relationship with Christ. I mean, my dad chose to walk away. My mom was really sick by the time we were in high school. She's a rheumatoid arthritic, was a rheumatoid arthritic, and was in Indiana our last 2 years. We were raising ourselves, bottom line, the last 2 years of school, and everybody significant had walked out. And can I give you a quick example of what happened, this whole thing? So yeah. for Lewis, you know, when he came to know Christ, he said, you know, the most reluctant atheist in all of England, you know, gave his life to Christ, you know. Well, I was a mess and everything else like that. But on the night that I came to know Christ, it was all of a sudden an awareness that God loved me, right? And, you know, this guy, do you want to change the pictures of your life story? Absolutely. And I look down the road and I see Doug Barham. And it's like a 6'4" Jesus. And it all comes together. And I remember walking down and Doug Barham had a little, you know, those Gideon Bibles, the little ones, you know, he had a mm-hmm. Bible for each one of us. So I didn't have a Bible. He hands me, you know, hands each one of us a Bible, but he had put a verse in it for each of us that he wanted. So he had like a bookmark. And so he hands it to me and he goes, I want you to go home, John. I want you to read that 100 times. So I go home, you know, that night and, you know, I open it up and I think he's serious. Okay. I think he means 100 times. Okay.
Literally 100 times.
He was being metaphorical. He didn't tell me that. He said, go home and read it 100 times. In Hebrews 13:5, here's what it says. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I did the, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you put a slanted line through the
yes.
5, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5. I get to about 60. So I've read now, for he himself have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I begin weeping. And to my knowledge, I can't remember crying before then. Certainly it had been years. I could not stop crying because all of a sudden I realized, you know, just what you're saying, where does it begin with? You know, well, there are practices, but really it begins with engaging a God who is never, you know, people are going to bail out on you. Sometimes, like my mom, wasn't her fault. She had arthritis and ended up, you know, back in Indiana getting all these surgeries. My dad did make a choice. So sometimes we're growing up in, you know, without attachment, just, you know, for all different kinds of reasons. But man, once we understand that the God of the universe is crazy about me. So that's what we'll be talking about on Sunday is, well, how do you do that? How do you engage God? And then Saturday is the, you know, well, how do you really build strong relationships with each other with bringing God into it? You know, so that'll be really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I always say it's like we're meant to be conduits. So, but we can't pour out what we don't have.
Yeah.
And so we need to be filled with the love of Christ because it's in that overflow that we can overflow into the lives of other people. But if we're not filling that vessel all the time, then we can't, we don't have it in us. We're going to be depleted. We're going to be lacking. Yeah. So that's why it's got to start with us knowing the love of Christ so that people can experience Christ in us.
Yeah.
So that's, and it starts with, but why do you think we struggle with that so much? I mean, I was just thinking we have an embarrassment of resources in English. I mean, there are so many ways, devotional tools, there's Bibles in every possible translation. You know, we have videos and podcasts and, you know, all kinds of things that we can use. But why do you think we struggle sometimes to take the time to spend time with God?
Well, you know, you need to show up on Sunday because that's really what I'm
talking about. Yeah, don't give us, I don't want you to give away the sermon.
I know. But basically the first two, I went to Dallas Seminary. So you have to have 3 points, you know, everything.
Yes, of course.
Dallas, I'd have to turn in my alumni card. But the first 2 points I'm talking about are exactly that. There's two things, and we'll look at them right out of scripture, that can typically block us from that kind of engagement, you know, because to engage, you know, it's a great word. It's, you know, you have to be moving towards something to get, you know, to really get connected. And, but there's some things that really hold us back. And so we'll talk about two of them, and then I'll get into a bunch of in the third point, you know, kind of what we call 2-degree changes. It's interesting, Lisa, but, you know, so much of our spiritual life, it isn't about, you know, that 180 degree thing. Well, boy, you know, we're struggling, so we need to go on a Christian cruise, you know, that'll solve
everything. Go a totally different direction. Yeah.
Or, you know, the mountaintop, you know, so much of life is really about those small things that turn us into a heavenly or hellish creature, you know, again, to quote from Lewis. So I do think, that'll be really fun on Sunday, is to get to really dig into not just what holds us back, but then here's some specific, tangible, you can do it 2-degree ways, we call them small things you can do to engage God individually.
I love that. I love that. Because it really is, it's about making small changes that over time add up to big changes.
Yeah.
So, well, let's go back to Saturday then. Because you're going to talk about meaningful conversations, and you wrote a book years ago, but it's been recently updated, called The Blessing with Gary Smalley. Yeah. And you really encourage people to bless other people. Yeah. But I want you to define for our audience, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by give people a blessing?
We'll go into details on Saturday, but it's really practical. Remember I mentioned, you know, attachment, that, you know, the word bless, trust me, it's not like a whole, you know, section of the seminar on what do you do when someone sneezes, you know?
And it's not the Texan passive aggressive bless your heart either.
Yes, it's not bless your heart either. That's true. Boy, because that could be really pejorative. People can take that. You think, oh, I meant it to be nice. People take it like, you know, well, bless your heart, you know. It's fighting words, I hear you. So but really what it means is I'll just give you two word pictures. We'll talk about it. But Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, is really great. I mean, the word fear in Hebrew, for example, the word picture behind it is kidneys. I won't go into detail why. The word self-control is literally the word to pull in the reins. Okay. So there's some great, you know, if you're self-controlled, you're pulling in the reins, you know, that's a beautiful picture. Well, there's two pictures for the word bless. And one is to bow the knee. By any chance, did you watch any of the coronation or at least see some pictures with King Charles? Okay. Mm-hmm. And everybody in England, you know, bows before. We don't do that. We're Americans. We don't bow, but it's an attitude. Okay, so we'll talk about that. Man, when you bless someone, it begins with this sense that you have tremendous value. But what do you do with that? Well, there's another picture, and it's adding a coin to a scale. And so because they're valuable, I'm going to add to their life. Now there's more to it. But really, you know, biblically, when you choose to bless, there are always five things that were a part of that blessing in the Old Testament and the New, like when Jesus blesses kids or blesses the disciples. So that's what we'll do, is we'll look at things that build attachment and help them understand how much value that, how valuable they are. Kind of the first session is on how valuable they are, how to understand that. You know, the second part is, well, then what do you do with that? Well, here's how you step towards them and add to their life. So it'll be real practical, hopefully kind of fun and uplifting. And it's just for nobody that's perfect needs to come, because they already
saw right. Them.
But if you've ever had a struggle in your home, then man, you need to be there, you know. So it's really just for imperfect people like us, not you.
Amen. Well, yes, no, I'm definitely one of the imperfect. But this idea of blessing people, it's really sort of affirming something that you see in them, right?
Oh, and, yeah, it is. I mean,
and we'll being verbal with it.
It is, you know, that's part of those five things, you know, that are a part of that. But we'll go through kind of what are, you know, to really bless someone. Man, you want to become a student of who they are and how do that. So we'll give people a tool on how to do that, how to understand what are their unique God-given strengths, who's that person that God has placed in their life story. We'll, you know, and so again, it'll be, it's all geared so that we're willing to take that step towards someone to help open up the door for that meaningful conversation that then once you then communicate God's love in that context of blessing and affirmation and encouragement, well, guess what? I mean, loneliness right at the heart of, it's interesting. You know how your three thing is loneliness, anxiety, addiction. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, flip it around. Guess what addicts are? Lonely. I have a really good friend who's one of the top, well, he works with sex addiction and has written several of the top clinical books on sexual addiction. And the title of one of his books is Lonely All the Time. Mm. So right at the heart of addiction is loneliness, you know, and then people that are lonely, they're anxious about it. You know, I mean, they all cascade together. So the things that we'll be doing on Saturday are the way you dispel it. It isn't missile science. It's when you step towards someone and open up those meaningful conversations and begin to really speak into their life. And so I think it'll be really fun. It'll tie in with your, you know, mission and vision. And then again, those four practices. And so, you know, it'll be relational on Saturday and personal on Sunday.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Well, for our podcast audience, I thought I'd ask you about one other book that you wrote that I thought was really interesting. You wrote a book called The Language of Love, also with Gary Smalley.
Yeah.
And I thought this was fascinating, this idea of using word pictures to communicate and to like really help enhance meaningful conversations, to build those bridges so that you can have a meaningful conversation. Cause it does feel that way. We tell people have meaningful conversations, but sometimes you just feel like you're talking past each other, even though you're both trying. So talk to them a little bit about this idea of using word pictures.
Well, you know, Gary Smalley, if I'm sure most people have heard that name, if they haven't, it's hard to believe, but you know, he's been with the Lord for almost a decade now, but I had the great privilege of working with him for 10 years and really at the heart of what our ministry is the blessing, you know, because man, if once you start off with that deep sense of, that you know, you're loved and valued, that Hebrews 13:5, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. We'll talk about all of that. But the point is, how, just like you said, how do you communicate with others well? And do you know the name Corrie Ten Boom? Have you ever heard that name? Uh-huh. Corrie Ten Boom. She was a Holocaust survivor. Her sister died. Her parents died in these terrible Nazi concentration camps. But Corrie Ten Boom, you know, came to, you know, as a strong believer and everything. Whenever she would speak, she would use an object. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for example, she would take a tapestry. Okay. But turn it the wrong way. So what do you see is a bunch of
all the mess,
different colors, everything else. And she would say, "Hey, this is all I could see when I was in the concentration camp." But then she turned it around and here's this beautiful, you know, but it's what God, you know, and she said that anytime that you use a, in essence, really a word picture is what we ended up calling it, that people, you know, 5 years later, they wouldn't remember exactly what she'd said, talked about, all the details, but they'd come up and explain, you know, say, "I get it." And so with men in particular, but with women who are great at communicate, better at communication anyway than a lot of us guys, there's this deep sense of when you use a word picture, and I'll go into that actually on Saturday.
Oh, good, good.
Word pictures, because that is one way to open up those meaningful conversations, but also to say to somebody in a very powerful way that they're loved. Can I give you one quick example? Do we have enough time?
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay, just one quick example. All right. So several years ago, I'm getting ready to go on a trip. I'm going to be gone for probably 2 nights away from home, 2 or 3 at the latest. But I'm out playing with the kids in the backyard, and I find an old, rusted wooden clothespin. Do you know what a clothespin?
Yeah, you're old yeah. enough.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Some of the younger people are going, what's
younger's like, what? It's a clip. Okay.
It's a little clip. Yeah, kind of a deal. That you had a clothesline, you'd hang your clothes. So this wasn't ours. I mean, we had a dryer, but whoever had the house before us had a clothesline and would hang up the clothes. And here's a clothespin, right? So I remember taking it in and saying to Cindy, my wife, as we're walking in, you know, she yelled us, hey, come on in, dinner or whatever. And I remember stopping her and go, hey, wait a minute, look at me. And she looks at me and I hand her this clothespin. And I go, I want you to know this is you. And she goes, okay, I'm rusted.
Thanks. I've been sitting in the yard a long time.
Yeah, I'm discarded. Anything else you want to say to me before you head out of town? I go, no, wait a minute. Wait, you're missing this. I go, you do such a great job of holding everything together when I have to go out of town. You know what? You're like a solid gold clothespin. So I come home in 3 days. What has she done? She's painted it white, drawn a red heart on it, glued a magnet to it. And where is it? Even today, where is it? On the refrigerator. Because things that are important to us go. And all, it was like she got the picture. See what I'm getting at? So that's a word. That's what we'll be doing, is helping people praise or encourage or even correct people. You can do that with a word picture.
Yeah, it's a way to draw people in, and then they can see it in their mind, and then they can get the analogy. And well, Jesus, it's sometimes easier than just telling, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Try praising your junior high kid and tell them, oh, you look so pretty. And they go, well, yeah, you have to say that. You're my mom, you know.
Yeah.
Or you're my
dad. Eye roll. Yeah.
but they remember the picture. And I think again, that's why Jesus used so many word pictures.
Yes.
And
the parables, right? Yes.
Right. Yeah. So a lot to talk about over the next couple of days, and and you're right. I just have to get there safely. There's been so many challenges lately, but Lord willing, I'll be there Saturday, and again, honored to be there again on Sunday morning.
Well, we're excited to have you, Dr. Trent. So when we wrap up our podcast every week, we always pray for our listeners. So I wonder if you would be willing to pray for our listeners as we close.
Yeah, what an honor. All right. Well, here we go. Lord, first of all, I thank you for Lisa, for the way she just takes the reins and is able to flesh out for the people that listen to this podcast what's going to be going on. Well, in this case, it's a couple of things. And so we do pray for those who will be coming. A number of them are bringing kids, are going to drop them off and then come in. And I would pray that all of us would know better how to build those meaningful conversations in ways that are tangible and helpful. And again, Lord, may people realize these are things they can absolutely take home that afternoon and begin doing. So it's not just concepts, it'll be really practical. And so, Lord, whatever their next best step is, they're going to get some ideas on what that would be to bring the vision home, Lord, to really help people know that, you know, hey, they're seen and they're loved, and they can do the same with their family. And then we pray for Sunday morning as well. That all begins, as Lisa said, you know, really clearly and brilliantly, was, man, you know, you got to be, you can't give, you know, what you don't have. And boy, we want to give God's love. And that means engaging him individually, personally. So that'll be Sunday. And we do pray for that, Lord. We'll look at some roadblocks, but also some very helpful ways, I think, to engage God individually. So just with all we do, we give you the honor and the glory. And Lord, whatever that thing is, you know, flat tire, getting in an argument on the way to church, just keep driving and yes. show up and let God's word be the thing that, and your spirit, Lord, because man, where you are, you know, gathered with the people that are yours, Lord, man, your spirit's going to be right there. So really look forward to this weekend and for your love. Thanks for Lisa again, and pray for her family. In your name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We will see you back next week.